we are in such a significant season, not just in human history, but in the plan of God. It is a significant season, like when Israel and Joshua and them crossed over into the promised land. It is like when the people came to David, when they knew it was the time for the kingdom to be transferred to him out of the hands of Saul. This season is significant, like when Gabriel, the angel, came and told Elizabeth's husband, you're about to be pregnant with John, and he's going to make the way of the Lord. And you're going to have to be quiet so you don't mess it up. This season is so significant. It's like when Gabriel came to Mary and told her how highly favored she is. Wow, the birth of Jesus is the most significant season. We are in a season that is significant in the plans of God because things are happening and shifting. And just like those instances that I named, there was angelic movement. There were angels giving the message, and there was the people of God moving, even though it didn't seem like there was a move of God happening at first. You guys follow what I'm saying? See, we pray and ask God for a move of God, but we have to discern when he's moving and how he's moving. Because sometimes we can be praying for God to move and God is already moving and he's waiting on us to get into alignment with what he's doing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it said, and I love the way the King James writes it, it talks about to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And I like the way that's written in the King James because it highlights a couple of things. One, that there is a season. And there are multiple seasons because it says to every. Our lives consist of a series of seasons. And in every season of our life, there is a purpose for us to accomplish and a purpose of God. And a purpose and intention for that season. God has a purpose and intention for every season, and in those seasons, we have an assignment or a purpose to fulfill. Which is why we talk about there are many purposes, but one what? Destiny. Because in each season, as we fulfill purpose, we would then walk out the fulfillment of destiny. But it says there is a time for every purpose. And so we have to discern the season, because what happens is there if we don't properly discern the season, we can misunderstand the assignment for that season. Right. Now, I have seen some people get discouraged because they misunderstand the set time of that season. They would think something that's for a later season is for the now, the season they're in, and they would do something too early and get discouraged. Or they would think something that's for their now season is for a later season, and they would get discouraged. See, it's important for us to discern the time. Say, discern the time. Now, it doesn't take rocket science or even Holy Spirit to show us things are very challenging in the world right now. We see a lot going on, and I'm not political, but I am prophetic. And I can tell you that the warning that the Lord gave me back in January that I've been repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating is this: do not be distracted by the smoke screen. Because we know a smoke screen is something that causes us to see nothing but smoke and mirrors and fog while something else is happening in the background. And we need to discern what the Lord is doing and saying so we don't get distracted by what's happening in the smoke and missed what's going on in the background that we need to properly address. You didn't have to watch the Olympics or the opening ceremony to see two different occasions where they were mocking Christianity and promoting an antichrist agenda during the opening ceremony of the Olympics. And this is something I've never seen before. It didn't take rocket science for them to see that they're trying to arrest the president of Israel. An international court is trying to hold him accountable for Israel's response to the war in Gaza. Or for Vladimir Putin to be calling for an investigation about Joe Biden. And it's like, bruh, you're in another country. What this got to do with you? Right, mind your business. And so we see a lot of things happening in the culture. We saw when Netanyahu was speaking to her at Congress last week, people were protesting, which is their right to do, because they can do that if they want to. But what we have never seen on American soil is people burning the American flag. We have seen people embrace the same spirit of radicalism and hatred that we have seen plague certain countries of the Middle East. So we're seeing all these things, and we can't be surprised, because Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. And in the middle of all of these things, people are like, let's pray. We need to pray. We need to pray, which we do. But we also need to move. Say move. And so I had several different titles for the different phrases the Lord was speaking to me about today. But today we're going to talk about the movement of God's messengers. Because he spoke to me prophetically back earlier in this month, and I shared it online, about this being a season and a time of the movement of God's messengers. And so we have to be clear that whom God has entrusted with his word must begin to move in releasing the word. Now, some of you may immediately disqualify yourself and think that's for the preachers. I'm talking about the body of Christ. As a member of the body of Christ, God has entrusted you with something he has spoken to you. You may think, oh, this is a vision, this is a dream, this is a desire. All of those things that the Lord has given you are part of the message of God that it's time for you to move in and to release. So the dreams and visions and things you want to do for God, some of those things are things that he has placed in your heart for you to walk out in this season. Where we see sin abounding, the scripture says grace abounds much more. Where we see things getting darker, Isaiah 61 says we arise and shine because his glory is upon us. So we cannot be distracted by the darkness of men, the darkness of the culture, and the foolishness of what's happening. We have to arise and shine. And we have to use our authority to establish the heavens. We can't just say, man, come Lord Jesus. We have to properly steward the earth. The scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? Y'all know that passage? But then there's another place in Psalms where it says he has given the earth to the children of men. So what happens in this earth realm, part of it is because of the sovereign will of God playing out. Part of it is because of what we allow. We have the keys to the kingdom, and what we allow on earth is what is allowed in the heavens, and what we forbid in the earth is what has been forbidden in the heavens. So we have to go, and we have to move. And one of the things that I heard is, as we move, not to be concerned about difficulty. Because what people may perceive as difficulty and challenges is not hard for God. So look at Isaiah 51:16, and I'm going to read this to you from the King James. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified, God. Isaiah 51 and 16 says this, "And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee," and I'm reading this from the King James, "and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I might plant the heavens, and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people." Now, he said he is putting his words in whose mouths? Ours. So God has put his word in your mouth so that he could plant the heavens. See, the shift is, and I'm telling you, I had to make this shift recently as well. My thought was, I need to reflect heaven. I need what I do to be a reflection of heaven. But the scripture says plant. See, we don't want things to look like heaven in the earth. We want it to be heaven in the earth. That's why the scripture says plant the heavens. And everything you plant starts with a what? Seed. And where does the seed come from? Our mouths. Because the Bible says the word is a seed. So when you stop talking about the Lord, you are not planting the heavens. When you don't release the message that God has placed in you, however he's told you to release it, it's not planting the heavens. But when you do those shows, Tamara, you're planting the heavens. When you write your books, you're planting the heavens. When you are on your job, because some of you are thinking, well, those are good for the people who are like in business. But when you are in your career, you are there planting the heavens in your interactions. And you have to be sensitive to the season. You're not treading water until you can launch out. You're actually launching. And you're building, you're planting, you're stewarding until that assignment is complete. So, but notice he says, I have covered thee with the shadow of my hand. Now, when we see, when it talks about the hand of God in the Old Testament, it's talking about the strength and the power of God. That Hebrew word is called, is yad, which indicates power, direction, and dominion. So he put his word in you, and then he covers you with his power. He gives you direction and causes you to walk in dominion. Now, this dominion is not generic. It is very specific to the place you are assigned. Because a lot of times we think about walking in dominion, we think generically and broadly, which it does apply. But I want you to think about your assignment in this season. God has given you a word and he's given you dominion. And then he says that he may plant the heavens and lay the foundations. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6. Glory to God. Now, as I share this type of word, I want you to understand this. We have to understand how to move in this season. Because when you talk about going and movement, sometimes people will get zealous and go ahead of God. It'd be putting in 2 weeks' notice, 30 days' notice. Maybe that's not how God is telling you to move. I remember when the Lord spoke to me way back when about doing music. And before he could finish the sentence, I was auditioning people to sing. I had a group name. I made business cards. And we were out there. And then after a period of time, I recognized I wasn't seeing the degree of fruit I was supposed to. Because when you do something for God, you're going to see some fruit. God will bless it. But there's a difference between seeing some fruit and seeing the fruit. There's a difference between God blessing what you do and you operating in the blessing, that, which is the area where God is already blessed. Most believers want God to bless what they do. I'm like, Lord, put me in the place that you've already blessed. So I saw some fruit, and so I had to evaluate. I was like, Lord, is this a time for me to keep pushing? Or am I out of alignment? Because I've learned to ask the Lord those questions, because sometimes you'll see some fruit, you'll automatically think, I need to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to keep decreeing and declaring and all of that. But you have to evaluate. Because sometimes people shift and say, the Lord is shifting me, when they just need to have fortitude. And they need to be consistent. And they need to come to a place of resilience. Other times, God is telling them to shift, and they thinking they need to have fortitude and dig in. You see how we can miss God sometimes? So I've learned with Jesus, I learned to ask him questions. That's why they called him teacher. Teachers instruct. And you can ask the teacher questions. So I was like, Lord, what's up with this fruit? And then he calmed me down. He told me that wasn't how I was supposed to be doing it. So I shut it down, then start doing it the way he told me to. And when I did, I started seeing greater fruit. So we have to, as we have to move with wisdom. Say wisdom. And we have to be sober. Like the whole time that the Lord was speaking to me about this, and I was meditating on it, there was this sense of soberness. Because we need to be where he needs us to be, doing what he's telling us to do at the moment we're supposed to do it. Because there is a ripple effect when we are walking in obedience. I want you to sense that. And I want you to really understand the significance that you play in the plan of God being fulfilled in the earth. You may be thinking, I'm just here, I'm just there. But what you are doing is part of a significant piece of what God is executing across the body of Christ, across the world. Say movement. So in Isaiah 55, verse 6, I'm reading it from verse 6 for some context. From the New American Standard. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So there's a season of seeking and calling. But there's also a season of seeking and calling while you're in motion. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. A lot of times when we read that, we automatically assume unbelievers. But the scripture was not written to unbelievers. It was written to believers. And when Jesus, well, I'm saying Jesus, but he was the one writing it too. When Jesus was saying, let the wicked forsake his way, he was talking about the people of God. Sometimes, as a person who loves God, we can have our own way of how we want to walk out the plan of God. Some may just get in rebellion and have their own way, but there are many who are not in rebellion, who love Jesus, who love the Lord, who are praying and studying, but they have their own way of how they think God is telling them to do a thing. And when they get in their own way, it is considered wickedness. And it says, unrighteous man his thoughts. Now we know righteousness because we're the righteousness of God in Christ. And we know righteousness refers to being in right standing with God, but also proper and right alignment. Meaning that we can have our own way and our own thoughts and be out of alignment with God, even though we love him. We're praying to him every day. We're speaking in tongues every day. We're going out, Lord, who do you want me to prophesy to? And we can be in our own way and in our own thoughts. But God is so gracious that he will align us with his thoughts and his ways. Because to see the fruit that God has called us to bear, the fruit that remains, we have to do it his way. This is why in church it's been a popular saying, so much so that it became a catchphrase, but it is a true statement. We say, your will, your way. We say that to the Lord, right? Because we're not just saying, let your will be done. We're saying, the way you want it to be done, let it be done. And then verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor my ways your ways, declares the Lord. So when a person is out of alignment, their thoughts are not his thoughts, their ways are not God's ways. But we can be in alignment because the scripture says we have the mind of Christ. And so every day we should be asking, we should be saying, Holy Spirit, thank you for aligning my thoughts with your thoughts, my ways, your ways, so that your word that you've put in my mouth can come forth. Let's go down to verse 11 for the sake of time. Well, verse 10 for the sake of time. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Check this out. So when the rain and snow come down, it waters the earth and causes something to be produced. Y'all see that? And it says, so will my word be which goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, or the King James says void, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So meaning that when God speaks his word to you and over you, it's going to cause something to be produced in you and through you. And what is going to be produced in and through you is bigger than you. It's about you, but it's not about you at the same time. The promise of God to you is about his faithfulness to you, but it's about somebody else as well. It's about the souls that are to be reached as you move in what God has told you to do. See, some of you, let me say it this way. As God fulfills his word in your life personally, there's a correlation to him fulfilling his word for the city, the region, and the nation. So if you sit on what God has told you to do, you are holding up some transformation that could be happening for the city and for the nation. And you have to understand the personal attacks against you, your reputation, your finances, your health, your family are not really about you. They're about distracting you and trying to hinder you from releasing what God has placed on the inside of you. And when you see the bigger picture, you will say, oh, I am extremely dangerous. For this much stuff to be happening, I am dangerous. And I'm not going to pay attention to the distraction because there's something in me that needs to be released. The Bible says that we have treasure in these earthen vessels. And instead, this is the time where no one can afford to sit on their treasure. Even though people come and they place a demand on the anointing of the man of God and the woman of God, but you need to understand there is a demand on the anointing that's on you, man of God, woman of God. You are that man of God, that woman of God, for the anointing to be coming out of. In this season, you should feel a stirring in your spirit. God is stirring the spirits of his people and the unbeliever. Everybody's spirit getting stirred up right about now. Because God is fulfilling his word. The Cyruses who don't know him, who have been anointed for a certain purpose, they're being stirred up. But the people who are walking in covenant relationship with him and covenant relationship with his people, you should feel a great stirring. You should be like, I don't know what's up, but something is up. Something is just stirring. I can't even articulate what's stirring, but something is stirring. It's just like in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. I'm telling you, this is a season of fulfillment of the word of God. And when it comes time, when the Kairos moment hits, which we are in, for fulfillment of God's word, your spirit should start stirring. Because the inside of you is connecting with something that's been released from heaven. Hallelujah. But you cannot be distracted by the smoke screen because there's a specific assignment for you. Especially in this year of elections, you can't be distracted by the political parties. You have to be like the angel of God that came to Joshua. When Joshua said, are you for me or my enemies? And he said, neither. I came as a representative of God. Because there's stuff happening in the background on both sides. There's an antichrist agenda coming from both ways. And if you start getting mad over one person's personality or start thinking we're going to make history by putting this person in, you're going to miss it. So the spirits of his people are stirring. And a response to the stirring in your spirit is, yes, Lord, what am I to be doing in this season? Don't make any assumptions. I hear that's prophetic instruction. Don't make any assumptions. Don't think because you hear something, you stirring, something is stirring in you and you have something on your mind that's what you're supposed to do. It could be something else. Hallelujah. So, if you're taking notes, write this down. Write down this question. And if you're not taking notes, listen to the replay so you can take the note. What is God stirring within you? Even if you need to ask Holy Spirit, something is stirring. What is this stirring for? And then ask him the question we teach every week. What is required of me in this season? To be in alignment with the fulfillment of your word. Because God is fulfilling his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Because this season is a time of fulfillment. It's a time for us to walk in what God has told us to walk in. It's a time where we're going to demonstrate and allow the gifts of God that are in us to flow and to be expressed in a mature way. We've had the seasons of expressing ourselves in a baby type of way, where we were learning, you know, like a toddler first learning to walk. But now it's time for the mature believer to walk in the authority of God in every sphere of influence and not hide in the shadows because the world hates us, or not hide in the shadow out of fear of being canceled. Because wouldn't nobody ashamed to do what they do, and when they call it artistic expression, they can channel a demon and call it artistic expression. Taylor Swift can do an incantation at a concert where people lose their memory and they call it artistic expression. A celebrity can say she ghost hunts and they call it artistic expression. But the minute you get up and say Jesus, you sometimes people want to wonder, can you say that? Yes, I can, and yes, I will. Because in this season of fulfillment, there has to be a greater boldness upon the body of Christ. Miracles, signs, and wonders don't happen through the mouth of the timid. It happens through those who know their authority in God. I'm going to say that again. Miracles, signs, and wonders don't happen through the mouth of the timid, but those who know their authority in God. You can't be scared to tell somebody to get up. You can't be scared to rebuke a demon, tell a spirit of infirmity to leave. You can't be scared to pull somebody out of a wheelchair, because it ain't you that's healing them anyway. It says in Mark, it says he confirmed the word with signs. Who is the one speaking the word? We are. And so while we're praying and asking God for a sign, God is like, I want to do a sign. Open your mouth. We pray for revival when God says, I want to bring it, but you got to open your mouth. Get up off your knees and get up and do something. Hallelujah. Yep, that's where I'm going. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Now, this can be interpreted a multitude of ways. But we know this scripture is talking about kingdom advancement. And it's talking about aggressive kingdom advancement. And it's talking about the maximum kingdom manifestation. Now, in the context, you know, John was having some doubts. And Jesus answered the question to John's disciples. Because John was wondering, are you the one? But should I look for another? He was in prison asking that question. But before he went to prison, that doubt wasn't in his mind. Every time he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. He must increase, I must decrease. So he was having a moment where John was having a moment where walking out the call of God didn't look like he pictured. And he was thinking, okay, are you the one? Because it didn't happen the way he thought it was going to happen. Don't allow things playing out different than you imagine make you question the word that God has given you. It's just part of the process. When you stay in alignment with him, it's part of the process. When you get out of alignment, you got to get back in alignment. Don't get out of alignment and say, oh, it's part of the process. No, it ain't. That was something you brought on yourself, not getting alignment, and let his grace be sufficient. But then Jesus begins to talk about John. And he said, there had been none born of women greater than him up to that point. Because John was operating under the mantle of Elijah, a similar prophetic mantle like Elijah that was to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, I often ask God, he operated under the mantle of Elijah, but he didn't tell nobody. Because they asked him, are you the Elijah to come? And he said, nope. But Jesus said, yeah, he is. And John didn't perform any signs or wonders like Elijah did. But he had that boldness and aggressiveness to challenge people and systems to prepare people to change their way of thinking and behaving to receive Jesus. That is the same mantle that has been released in this season. The boldness of Holy Spirit to challenge systems and to help people change their thinking to receive Jesus. It's not about winning an argument. It's about winning the soul. And instead of debating, I'm going to plant seed and I'm going to rebuke the demon. Because here is the thing. And it says, from the days of John, the kingdom had been forcefully advancing. Now, John significantly started the advancement of the kingdom of God in the earth. Despite all the things we see about Abraham and Isaac and Israel, despite what we saw with Daniel, despite what we saw with Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, despite what the prophets prophesied, the kingdom began to forcefully advance when John started saying something. And what did he say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning, the kingdom of God is here and to be experienced. In order to operate in the miraculous, and I know this ain't that teaching, but I'm just going to give it to you. You have to be one whose heart posture is, let the kingdom be experienced. And not just talked about, philosophized about, or discussed. Because it says the kingdom is not just in word and deed, but it's in power. See, too many people are talking about kingdom and not demonstrating. Too many people are given the cultural and historical background of what God has said, but are missing what God is saying and what he's doing. See, people can interpret scripture intellectually and they can discuss it intellectually. And it's important to know the cultural and historical backgrounds of what God said. But after you learn that, you have to allow Holy Spirit to say, show you how it applies to today. And not to misinterpret what it is. And we have to move from discussion and debate and a Greek philosophy of discourse about the word to being the sons of God that demonstrate the word. I don't have to debate to you nothing when I see Holy Spirit move. There's no discussion when the Holy Spirit is moving. I don't have to prove that Jesus is alive when he heals somebody. But without that, I got to discuss it and prove it to you and convince you that the Lord loves you. I don't have to convince you that the Lord loves you when I cast a demon or break a curse off your life. So, but we see what triggered the advancement of the kingdom in verse 13. It says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So everything that was done in the Old Testament was a prophetic word being walked out until John. So the law was prophesying something. The prophets were prophesying something. The lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel prophesied something. The life of Moses and Joshua prophesied something. But when John came, the prophecies stopped and the kingdom began to advance. Why? Because now it was the time of fulfillment. See, there's a time in your life where things will be prophesied to you. Then there's a time where things will be fulfilled. There's a time when the prophecy will cease and the fulfillment will start. And so instead of chasing prophetic words, I chase fulfillment. I don't need somebody to prophesy to me. I need the Lord to fulfill what he's already spoken. And in a season of fulfillment, you have to be in alignment with the word that was already spoken. instead of trying to say, instead of saying, Lord, give me a new word. No, give me an alignment with the word you said so it could be a reality. I don't want a notebook full of prophetic words that I can't put a check mark by and say, yep, he did it. Yep, he did it again. He did it again. He did it again. We're in a time of fulfillment. And in a time of fulfillment, every ear has to be inclined to hear the voice of the Lord. Because he's going to tell you, Madeline, exactly what you're supposed to do. You receive that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to give you five things that the Lord gave me that's could be a requirement in this season. Fulfillment, as he is fulfilling his word, as prophetic words are coming to pass, as he uses us to demonstrate his power and the reality of the kingdom everywhere we go. I'm telling you, this thing is, there should be a greater sense of soberness in our walk with the Lord. Because there are people who need us. There are people who need you. The scripture says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm like, Jesus, why are the laborers few with all these people in the earth? Because some have not recognized their assignment, so they're not operating as a laborer. Thank you, Jesus. So number one, we must be about our Father's business. Period, point blank, the end. We must be about our Father's business. We cannot buy time. The time of waiting is over. There is an activity that you should be doing in this season to fulfill purpose and destiny. The next season would take care of itself. You need to think about this season. Some are so future focused that they miss what they're supposed to be doing today. So we have to lay down our desires, align our thoughts, ideas, and desires with the call of God on our lives. Because we can desire a thing that's good for us, but it might not be in alignment with the call of God. And we cannot be distracted by the things we desire to do for God because we love him. We have to be focused on fulfilling the assignment that he's given us, which is the greatest act of love. I heard someone say that God's love language is obedience. Here's the second thing. You have to continue to build with God and boldly fulfill your assignment. You have to go all in. As you understand what God has told you to do in this season, you got to go all in. You can't haphazardly do it. You can't dip your toe in. It's like being at the swimming pool, how you try to put your toe in first and all of that. You can't. You have to jump all in. You have to jump into the deep, unapologetically, and with boldness. You have to resist the temptation to shift as a result of what you do or do not see in the natural. What you see cannot be the determining factor in what you do. What he speaks is the determining factor of what you do. If he tells you to shift, then you shift. But if he says don't shift, then you know you need to keep going, be consistent, fight the fight of faith. Because there are some seasons where you gotta have you doing a thing and you might not see any fruit. And then all of a sudden it springs up later. Because of your faithfulness and your obedience and your willingness to keep doing it. Isaac sowed during a time of famine. And it says he reaped like 100-fold or something like that in the same year. But it didn't say the same month. It didn't say the same day. So we don't know what the time release is for the fruit, for the things you're doing. So you can't shift too soon, but you also cannot shift too late. You see how we have to be in perfect step with Holy Spirit? Here's the third thing. You have to be sensitive and discerning of the voice and the moving of Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of emotionalism, a lot of sensationalism, a lot of charismatic things happening. And in the excitement, in someone's charisma, in the emotional highs, and all of these things that happen, we have to discern the voice of God, if he's in this thing or not. Because people will try to hype you up emotionally. They even quote a scripture when they do it. And they can be just as off. So we have to be able to discern the moving of Holy Spirit and be sensitive to his voice. Here's number four. We have to keep our faith in God. Not men, not strategies or any of those things. Our faith is in God. A strategy only works is because God gave it to us to do. We have to trust him, his word, and his power. A lot of time we trust God. We trust his word. We also have to trust in his power. Because when God speaks a thing, that settles it. Maintain a high expectation of seeing, experiencing, and releasing the glory of God. And that's a mental shift for some. Because we expect to see God's glory. We expect to experience God's glory. The next place that God wants us to be, see, experience, and release. Meaning that when you go to work tomorrow or do what you do tomorrow, there should be an expectation of the glory of God being released through you. Whoever you're going to see, it's going to see Jesus. And not just in an act of kindness kind of way. Because I know people do that. They be like, well, I'm demonstrating love and I'm kind and I want them to see Jesus in me. Oh, it's such a miracle to be breathing. Can we be a little more aggressive than that? They're going to see Jesus in you because of your act of kindness, but they're going to hear your speech and say, she must have been with Jesus. And it's not a miracle to be breathing. That's just normal. You're supposed to be breathing. You're on assignment. And you must be convinced that you don't leave until your assignment's up. So when people say, oh, it's a miracle that I woke up this morning. No, it wasn't. It was the assignment of the Lord. It's normal for me to wake up the allotted days that God has assigned for me. So we can't diminish the supernatural to some of these things where people are like, well, we see miracles every day. The sky is blue. The flowers bloom. The sky is blue because God said it is. The flowers bloom because he commanded them to. You can see miracles every day when you allow his power to work through you to point somebody to Jesus. Because that's what the miraculous is. It's the supernatural power of Jesus operating through you to do something that defies natural means that points them to him. The last thing is, which correlates to the previous one, allow God's glory to shine through you. you are the salt of the earth. God does not light a lamp to hide it under a bush. His glory isn't on you just so you can say you feel the glory. And you can break into a Benny Hinn. Oh, the glory. His glory is on you for you to arise and shine and for people to be drawn to his glory, or the scripture says, your light. His glory is on you because darkness covers the earth and the people, and their only way out is when they see you functioning in your assignment, using the gifts God has placed in you. And for some of you, you may be thinking, somebody watching or somebody in this room, you might be wondering, what is my gift? And what does it look like in these other spaces? God is going to reveal that to you. In fact, if that's you, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, thank you for revealing the gifts that you've placed within each person and how they are to function right now. Because you said that our gifts make room for us and bring us before great people. So even as how Joseph knew how to use his gift when he was in Potiphar's house and even in prison, God, show us how to use our gifts in the places you sent us and you allow us to be. Let us not contain them or hinder the expression, because you say we all have been given a manifestation of Holy Spirit for everyone's benefit. And so, Father, let the people in these different spaces and places, the different spheres of influence, benefit from what you've placed in us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.